as I look around the audience on this evening, the ones that are old enough to understand, take another quick glimpse. I may miss something or somebody. Understand that Christ truly arose.
Amen.
And understands what God desires of them. Which it is sad that as I look once again that there are some that are generally here on this evening service time that are not here right now. And maybe they didn't set their clocks up and they're still at home napping. But that's okay. That's okay. I remember one day when one of my dear brothers, he decided he wanted to lay down and didn't wake up on time. And I told him that I would call him and hadn't had to call him. He's been faithful ever since. He acted like he don't hear me talking about him. But yes, now he looked up as I look away. Talking about you, Brother Butch. But as we come together on this evening, I want us to realize that being a child of God, there's a great responsibility that we have. And that is to remain faithful unto death. Amen. To remain faithful unto death. As we look at the scripture reading one more time in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 13. With the title of, There Is a Way Out. There is a way out. If you would look to my left and look to my right, and those of you that like to look in the rear, there are four exit signs. That exit means that is the way out. And if you would follow those doors, or if you would go through those doors, you are supposed to see the exit. And I'm pretty sure I haven't really noticed, but when you go through these two doors here, there's another sign, an exit sign. Am I right, Brother Butch? What about down here? Is there? So that would be a total of 2, 4, 6, 7 exit signs. And for those of you that like to follow some other people, when you go out this door, instead of going that way, you'll go down the stairs and there's another exit sign. So that makes 2, 4, 6, 8 exit signs. And those are not the only exits in this building. But I want you to know that if something happens, there is a way out. There are windows. They open. You can jump out the window if you want to. But I'd much rather go through the door. For I know that if I go through the door, that door leads to the outside. And it is supposed to be safe as I go down the stairs or go down the ramp. But if I jump out this window, there's no telling what's going to happen. And our lives are like that sometimes when we do not look at the warnings and we go a different way instead of the way God has provided for us. It says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 6, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Then all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There had no temptation taken you, but as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, I want you to look at that verse one more time. It does not say God will remove the temptation. It doesn't say that. It says with the temptation, he will make a way of escape. That's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to pay attention to, because a lot of times we're asking God, God, remove this person out of my life because they are no good for me. Well, God has given you the answer. Again, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It's nothing new. We're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes in Bible study, where we find there's no new thing under the sun. What you're going through, someone else has already gone through it. Some have come away from it. The temptation is still there, but the person found the way of escape because God provided it and they went through it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We all have problems in our lives. We all have situations in our lives, and we all are subject to sin. None of us is above sin. We're not above what God says will happen to us. Temptation is going to come. And when it comes, we need to be prepared for it. We need to be prayed up. We need to be studied up. We need to be ready to overcome whatever comes our way because God is there for us. We need to realize this. And as we realize it again, there's no temptation without a way of escape. You say you have a drinking problem? Well, here's the way of escape. Don't go to the liquor store. Don't go buy it. Don't go hang out with your friends because God has given you new friends. Amen. You are now a member of the body of Christ, and you need to realize that your friends that you used to hang out with and do the things that you used to do with them, you can't do anymore. You can, but God has made a way of escape. Amen. He's put some new people in your life, and you need to accept that and realize it. The Bible says here in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10, as we think about a way of escape, a lot of times we say, well, my life is going to be perfect. I don't have anything to worry about. That's not what the scripture says. It doesn't say your life is going to be perfect. It doesn't say you don't have anything to worry about. What the scripture says is this, as we read it. It says in Revelation 2, verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. A way of escape, again, does not mean escaping effects or persecution, but escaping the offenses to God. It's there in front of you. Is right there, and you can do it if you want to, but if you do it, know this, that you are sinning against God. He said, be thou faithful unto death. If it's not possible, why would the Lord say it? It is possible for us to be faithful unto death. But there are many people that are saying they can't. Why are they saying they can't? They're saying, because I'm already in sin. There's nothing I can do, nothing I can say that'll get me away from what I'm doing right now. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 22, as Peter was talking to Simon the sorcerer, he was caught up into sin because he wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Ghost. But what is the way of escape? What are we to do when we're already in the grasp of sin? Sin has us. What are we to do? It's very simple. This is what we're supposed to do. As Peter talks to Simon, he says, repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We have to be sincere. We have to have godly sorrow in order to know that, sin, it does not, you know, have dominion over us any longer. Yes, we're in sin, but it has no dominion over us, has no power over us. We can overcome sin. Amen. And then we go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. It tells us how sin comes about in our lives. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. Oh, there are some things that we want to do. There are some things that we see that we want. Oh, there are some ways that we want to be that God says these things are not right. And I'm going to let you rise above these things. But I want you to realize that it's me doing it and not you. He says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that not what we want? Do we not want to be cleansed from all unrighteousness? What God says is possible. Here's the way. Confess. Repent. Everything else will be okay. Live for me. So there is a way out. There is a way out. And there's no uncommon temptation. We have to realize this. It's not uncommon for men to be tempted. It's not uncommon for you to be tempted of the things that you've been tempted of, because others have already been tempted of those same things or in the same ways. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the serpent came to Eve and he tempted her, we're tempted the same way today. We're tempted because we see something and we say, oh, that looks good. We're tempted when we have in our hearts that I want that. Amen. Or we're tempted when we're saying, you know, I want to rise above everybody else. I want this pride in my life and I want to show people that this is who I am. But God hasn't put you there. We look at Genesis 3 verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. No uncommon temptation. There are still men and women sinning today because they see something that is good. They see something that is pleasant. That they see something that'll make them think that they're somebody when they're really not anybody. Same thing is happening today. If you don't think it's happening, I want you to go back and recount your life. And I want you to think how many times you've seen something. You say, oh, that's good for me right there. And then you look back on when you got what you thought was good for you, and you found out it really wasn't that good for you at all. See, the reason we participate in sinful things is because we love those things. We like how they make us feel. We like what they look like, and we like it when we do those things, how it has put us into a state of mind that says, I am all of this when you're really all of nothing. Amen. So we need to realize this. There's no uncommon temptation. No uncommon temptation. Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 verses 3 through 10, when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by the devil. Tempted by the devil. With the same things that Eve was tempted of and Adam was tempted of. He was tempted with these same things, the same three ways. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But Jesus did not give in to those temptations. He told Satan where to go, and we need to tell him where to go as well. But we're afraid to. We're afraid to tell Satan where to get off because we like him riding with us. We like him to have control of our lives, which he really does not have any control. He can only do what we allow him to do. This is what we have to realize. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's not of the Father. But it is of the world. Amen. See, now if God is making a way of escape, we can see right here that these things that people so desire to have is not of God. The things of the world make you feel good about yourself, not about your worship to God, but make you feel good about yourself. We need to think about those things. Again, no uncommon temptation. No uncommon temptation. So you're not going to go through anything that no one else has already gone through. But you need to look at them. And you need to learn from them, as we found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 13. Those things were written for us to learn from them, for us to benefit from them, so that we will not make those same mistakes. But here's the problem that we have with sin. With people that say, you know, well, I'm in sin and I cannot help myself. You want me to tell you why come you can't help yourself? Because you're trying to do it all by yourself. You need God in your life. But he says, no temptation beyond your ability. Why do we find a statement like this? Because of what God has done for us. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. See, there are some times when we look at our lives and we think that, well, I have to do these things and there's no way around them. There's no way I can escape these things and I'm going to have to give an account for something that someone else has done. The Bible is very clear. When we look at a passage like here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, that a father is not going to have to give an account for his sin, the sons of his sin, nor a son is going to have to give an account for the sins of his father. Each one of us, when we look at our lives and the things we do, we're going to have to give an account for those things. No temptation beyond ability is implied here. We don't have to worry about, well, you know, you got to give an account for your father's sins and this, that, and that. We don't have to worry about that. We have to worry about what we're doing. And if we worry about what we're doing, guess what? That's enough. That's enough. Now, when our life is what it's supposed to be, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, when our life is what it's supposed to be, yes, we're supposed to help out the next man. But we still have enough to worry about here. And when we worry about the things that we're going through in life, we find that, yes, we can overcome these things. And as we overcome these things, it is pleasing and acceptable unto God. God has set boundaries in the spiritual world as he has in the physical world. Well, what are these boundaries that he has set? He set a boundary that Satan cannot do no more than he allowed him to do. Now, he has free reign. And we find here that when Satan came before God, when the sons of God came before him and Satan came along with him, in Job chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, that God asked him a simple question. A simple question. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Why did he say Job? Why did he not say, "Have you considered Job's wife?" Because Job later on told his wife, "You sound like one of the foolish women. But have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man, one that shuns evil and fears God?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge around about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land? Have you not done this for Job?" When God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He was not going to allow Job to be tempted above what he could or beyond what he could handle. Now, was it saying that Job would not sin? It wasn't saying that. Just like the temptation that we go through today. Does it say that we won't sin? No, it doesn't. But we don't have to sin. And Job proved that by all that Satan done to him, even when his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die? Look at you, Job. Balls from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Look at you. Why don't you curse God and die?" See, that's you know, when we're at our lowest point in life is when we need to look up and say, God is in control. I know that what I'm going through, I can overcome these things. And if it's going to cause me to have whatever I have in my life in order to make me draw closer to God, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to do. We need to accept some things. Demons can't control you. You know, a lot of people say, oh, he's demon-possessed. Demons cannot control you. We need to understand that God is in control. Satan can't make you do anything. Flip Wilson, you know, the devil made me do it. No, we do things because we want to do them. The serpent in the garden did not make Eve take of that fruit. She wanted to do it. He gave her, you know, oh, look at it now. Look how good it looks. Just think about how it's going to taste. Look at what it's going to be able to give you. It's going to be able to make you as a God. Not as the God, but as a God. She loved to hear that. And as she heard it, she took of it. And also the Bible says, she gave unto her husband, and he did eat too. Satan cannot make you do anything. See, we have to take responsibility for our own actions. We can't blame it on our husbands. We can't blame it on our wives. We cannot blame it on our children. We do things because we want to do them. But you are able. You are able to resist temptation. No temptation without a way of escape. David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. David and Bathsheba. You know, David could have very well got around what he had done. He could have, you know, instead of doing what he did, he could have just went out, looked out that window, and then turned his head and went back and laid down and went back to sleep. But he didn't, did he? He didn't. The Bible says here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And to the woman, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, what's the way of escape? Oh, she looked good, but I need to turn my head. I need to go back and mind my own business. A lot of times, that's not what we do. You know, in the military, they tell you, you got 8 seconds, you can look. But after 8 seconds, it's considered to be sexual harassment. See, there's a way of escape. They made it for you. 8 seconds. Sometimes that 8 seconds is too long anyway. Just take a quick glance. You know, matter of fact, you don't even need to take a good glance. You know, somebody walk by you and you see what they have on or you see what they're doing. You don't follow them. Your eyes need to go the other direction. See, David didn't take that stance, though, did he? He did not take the way of escape. But we're going to find something out about David as we continue to talk about this and a little bit later on. That sometimes the way of escape is not what we think it is. We also find in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Ananias and Sapphira. No temptation without a way of escape. Here, they had a portion of land, and they went and sold the land, and then they brought the money, and they wanted to lay it at the apostles' feet. They had already schemed together, Ananias and Sapphira, schemed together. We're going to hold back a portion of the money. We're not going to give it all. They didn't have to give any of it if they didn't want to. But they said, we're going to hold back a portion and then we're going to lie about it. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira and his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back a part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Now, it doesn't even say in there anywhere where Ananias tried to deny what he had done. The question was asked, But you don't see where he tried to render an answer. He had already got together with his wife and decided this thing, and his lips were sealed on it. I'm not going to say a word. That's what I'm gathering from. I'm not saying nothing because I don't want to, you know, condemn myself. I don't want to put myself in jeopardy, but he had already done that when he had schemed with his wife to hold back a piece of the money. Was it not in thine own power? It was yours to do what you wanted to do with it. So there's a way of escape. We just have to know which way that is. Tell the truth. Simple as that. A way of escape may come through endurance, suffering, and even death. The death of the baby of Bathsheba and David died. That was the way of escape for David. The baby died. The suffering that the others looked at and the endurance that others looked at what had happened to Ananias and Sapphira, it brought some attention to them. They said, we need to get our lives in order. It was too late for Ananias and Sapphira. They died. Both of them lied and both of them died. But others learned from what they went through. It says in verse 10, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. But you want to lie about the money? God is giving you a way of escape right here. Look at what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Am I telling you that you're going to drop dead as soon as you lie about the money? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you, if you don't get it right with God, oh, in the end, you're going to have to pay. And so let's make sure we keep our lives in order and do the things that God wants us to do. How many of us today do not see the way? How many of us today do not understand the way? I tell you that there is a way of escape. No matter what you're going through in this life, there is a way of escape. We just have to look at it and we have to recognize the warnings and we have to heed to the warnings. As again, the drill sergeant used to say, it will behoove you to pay attention to what happened to the Israelites from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 through 13. We do not want to die in our sins. We want to get our lives together. We want to get our lives in order. We want to live a life that is pleasing unto God. We want to be faithful unto death. We want to recognize the signs, and we want to recognize what God has in store for us and do the things that's going to cause us to come away from sin and not stay in sin. Do we not realize that one day we will die? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. How are you living your life? Are you recognizing the signs? If your life is full of sin, do you see every opportunity God has given you to come away from those sins? Do you see the things that happen in your life and the people around you in their lives that God is trying to get your attention? If you're not recognizing that, there's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing no one else can do for you. You're going to have to make a stand for yourself and allow yourself to realize that God is in control. If you're here and you have a life that's full of sin, we're asking you to get it together tonight. Get it right tonight. Confess your faults one to another. If it's something that you have done privately, get that right between you and God. If it's something you've done publicly, get that right. Ask for the prayers of the congregation that your sins may be forgiven, and then live a life that is faithful unto God once again. Amen. If you're here and you're subject to an invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.